It's time for the Month of Movies podcast.
For September.
Movies.
2016 is what comes after September.
I'm watching a list of the scariest movies of all time that I compiled.
And I am watching a bunch of box sets and collections of movies that I've bought.
And then whatever else we watch during those months. I saw quite a few months of movies.
I saw a decent amount, not a killer amount.
Speaking of killer,
Clowns from Outer Space.
No,
was on a different podcast.
Yeah, what was it?
I watched it like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I didn't watch that. But the movie I did watch was a movie called Suspiria. I like it a lot. Next,
just kidding. What the heck?
What's happening?
My computer's really slow. I click open this, and then it just, like, sits there. I'm like, I don't think the button's working. It's just a slow reaction.
Nice.
Now there's, like, five windows open.
Suspiria is a movie by Dario Argento, and it's about a girl. The movie starts off where a girl is, like, she's getting into, like, one of the top ballet schools in the world, which is in Germany, and she's from America, so she's like flying in. But I like how the fact that the movie starts with her like at the airport already in Germany, so it already feels like the whole place is a foreign concept to her, because it's like the first time you're seeing her is the first time she's like in the country and stuff, whatever. But she shows up, and it's like this crazy storm going on outside, and she's like, I gotta get into this. I got like a room and board here and stuff. So as she's pulling up, this other girl's like leaving, and she's like screaming like, oh, I can't take this anymore, blah, blah, blah. And like, she's like, what the hell's happening?
Yeah, speak English.
Yeah, fucking Germans. I think it's German.
No, because they're just saying blah, blah, blah.
Oh yeah, that's English.
Oh yeah.
Make more sense.
Go to the bank.
But no. But anyways, the girl that runs off, you follow her for a little bit, and she's like, I can't stay at that school anymore. And without much reasoning, like, you don't hear much from her, except for like she just wanted to be there. But some mysterious form ends up killing her, and you're like, whoa, who killed her? What the hell's happening? But unfortunately, this is one of those movies where knowing, like, I went into it going, oh, I know what this movie's about. It's about this. And then, but that's not something you don't find until, like, the last maybe half hour of the movie, which kind of goes, oh, well, cool, I guess. a lot of things happen in the school. Like, she there's a lot of students that, like, kind of, like, if anyone, like, kind of, like, back talks to, like, the owners or the head mistress or whatever and stuff. Bad things happen to them, and like, what, but she's like, is this coincidence? What's happening? All these weird things are happening, and then she's like trying to figure out what's going on. But it's a cool movie. It's got like the coloring in it is amazing, because they have like a lot of like just very, what's the word I'm thinking of? Vibrant?
Extreme
vibrant. Like a lot of like red, blue, and green, like extreme like lights and stuff. It's just a nice, fun movie to watch. And the audio, like the music and stuff, is pretty cool. I liked the movie a lot. I gave it 8.5, which I can't find anywhere cheap really well. But I guess it's coming out in Blu-ray this year for
there you go.
For like the first time ever.
Yeah, now that 4K is coming.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was just gonna say 4K. It's like, oh yeah, buy the next thing. I'm like, I'm still not even really fully into Blu-ray yet.
And I'm still buying DVDs.
I know.
I bought a VHS tape last year.
So I started this box set called 10 Mega Movie Pack. I started this last month.
Yeah.
10 Movie Mega Pack. I got it because it has the comedian on it with Jerry Seinfeld. And
Which I talked about last month.
So then I'm watching the other 9 on this collection just because they came with it. So the first movie I watched this month was called Runaway Daughters, Ooh, sorry.
was I supposed to say that?
It takes place in the 1950s, and
you've already watched some of those already.
I did watch some of these. This is the first one from this month.
Oh, okay, sorry, yeah.
So this is the second half, the second disc in the set.
Oof.
This is Runaway Daughters. On the cover of the disc, it shows Julie Bowen and Paul Rudd.
Fun fact, you were to mention this to me like after you watched it,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, yeah, you know who she is? I'm like, we have the same birthday also.
You and Julie Bowen?
Yeah, happy birthday in March.
It's not even close to March.
March 3rd. By the time this comes out, it will be. Hey-o.
But the story takes place. They're teenagers in the 1950s. One of the girls gets pregnant. Uh-oh. So they fake a kidnapping of her so they could run away. And she was going to go, because the boyfriend is in the Navy. So they were going to run away and go to him and say, hey, you got to help with the baby and stuff. But didn't want the parents to know that she got pregnant. So they faked a kidnapping, and they run away.
I honestly thought the worst thing first. Like, they're going to fake a kidnapping and then say that she got raped or something.
Oh, no. But the funny thing is, the sheriff's department and stuff are trying to find her, and they're like, that's weird that someone would kidnap her and not ask for a ransom. But, yeah, that's pretty much the movie. At the end of the movie, they find him, and he didn't know she was pregnant.
Ever? Does he die before she finds out?
No, I mean, that he didn't realize that he got her pregnant.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's weird, because it's like, the cover has those two people, but they're not really main characters at all. They're just the most famous now.
Oh, okay. Classic.
I mean, Julie Bowen's, like, top listed, but she's, like, the pregnant girl's friend. So, you, like, I don't know.
Oh, so the ugly friend got pregnant.
No, well, they're not ugly, but they're just not famous. But, yeah, there's a part in the movie where they have car trouble, and they're like, oh, okay, well, these guys come to help them, and then the cops show up, and they think that they're the ones kidnapping them. So there's, like, a shootout and stuff.
Jesus.
Yeah, there's some crazy stuff that happened in this movie that comes unexpected. But yeah, it was kind of funny. That was a funny part. I gave it a 5. It wasn't amazing, but it didn't suck. It was like right in the middle. So I gave it a 5 out of 10.
I forgot to mention, Suspiria was on my list of movies. And then here's another movie that was on my list of movies. Cannibal Holocaust. Now, Jason...
I said I kind of wanted to see it, and then he started telling me about it, and then I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, because obviously a lot of these movies I watch for my list, are you serious?
It's a Tic Tac.
I know.
The loudest candy.
Look
at those levels.
But, yeah, some of these movies, like, Jason wants to see some of these, like, horror movies and whatnot, but this one was one of those, I'm like... You don't really want to see it. No offense to people that like this movie. It's not my thing.
Cannibal Holocaust.
Is that why he's called Hannibal Lecter? Because it's cannibal?
Hannibal the Cannibal.
Oh, fuck. I'm so stupid. Lecter. Lecter. Heller. I'm trying to think of what if it was a play on words. Lecter. Lection?
We didn't watch that movie, so we'll continue.
I watched it like 2 months ago, years ago. Cannibal Holocaust, it basically starts off as a movie where these three young kids who are on top of the world, like, yeah, cool, we're gonna make a documentary about this stuff, because they do a lot of, like, documentary, like, about big important things that happen in the world. And then, they go off to this, to go do a documentary on this group of people that live in the Green Inferno, as they call it, like in like Africa and stuff, that are like known to be cannibals possibly and stuff like that, and then they don't come back. So majority of the movie is a couple of guys that are sent to go try to find the footage, because one of the guys is like, yeah, I'll once I get the footage, we can edit together and figure out what happened and whatnot. And then, like, oh, hello, cars. But then edit the footage together and find out what happened, and also like release it as like the documentary of like what they have to put together. And so majority of it is these guys just kind of going around the jungle and whatnot, and it just, it's boring. It's pretty boring. But the guy's like, yeah, I'm, and by the way, if anybody wants to watch
Cannibal Holocaust,
I'm going to spoil the movie for you guys, just to let you know, because it's like the best part of the movie is finding out the certain aspect, but at the same time, it's not. But like the other guy's like, yeah, so it's weird because this group, like they're not really cannibals unless like it's like in extreme circumstances. So it's weird that like this group could have been eaten by them. So like they're trying to figure it out, and eventually they find the footage, and then the guy starts editing it together. And as he's done together, like you're seeing parts of the movie, and it turns out that the three kids that went to go get footage, they did horrible things to the cannibals to get reactions out of them. Basically, like there is a part where they like they're in their huts and they trap them in their huts and then burn the huts down, which is basically the title of the movie because it's a cannibal Holocaust. They fucking murdered a bunch of them. And, oh shit, did I say two guys? I had three kids? It's four people. Because it's three guys and one girl. And, the guys end up raping one of the girls. And, like, all three of them take turns raping her. And the one girl who's, like, with him is like, you can't do this. And they're holding her back. And, the reason why they do this is because, since she's not pure anymore, and all this other stuff, they end up, which on the cover, I don't have anymore. I give it back to Tony. Thanks, Tony. there's a silhouette of a person that looks like they got a spike. They're, like, impaled on a spike. It was her, because she's so impure that they impaled her on a spike. And it's, like, coming out of her mouth and up her, and stuff like that. Poop yeah. hole. Yeah, poop hole, probably. Or not. Probably not the poop hole. But the part that's horrible, though, in this movie is that they, I'm not much of a gory movie type person. I like scary movies, like, but I don't like, oh, Saw is all right, but
yeah, like, just the gross outness, like, oh, yeah, we're gonna make this as gory as possible.
Which I'm guess like, that's the point of this movie. It's like they wanted to make the most shit. What's the word? Not infamous, but like the most challenging. God damn, I can't think of the words.
Offensive.
Yes, that's it. Because when the filmmakers are walking around, they pull a turtle out of the water, like a big old turtle, like a big fucking
tortoise. Like,
no, not a tortoise. Like a big
tortoises are big.
Yeah, but they're different than turtles.
Live in the water.
Yeah, this is tortoises, they pull it out of water. Land. Yeah, it's a big turtle. Like it's like this big, like the size of a toboggan almost, and they cut its head off and take like hammers and stuff and like crack its shell open and rip it open. This isn't special effects. This is, like, legitimate, like, they're ripping this turtle apart.
Gross.
Yeah, I actually had to fast forward for a while, and
so you didn't watch the whole movie.
Well, I watched it in fast motion. There's a lot of different colored things inside turtles.
They're colorful.
But, and then there's a, like, they kill, like, legitimately kill at least five animals on screen. They shoot a pig in the head, and you see, like, twitch and stuff. It's fucking terrifying. Not terrifying. It just hurts your soul. They cut a monkey's head in half. It's like, I'm like, God damn it. And these guys are just doing it. So, like, once they finally get killed by the cannibals, you're like, finally, they get what they deserve. But then you go, no, this is a movie. They murdered animals for this movie.
In real life.
In real life. So it's like, a little bit of justice is taken care of. But the big kick in the end is after the guy edits together and they're all watching it at the end, the lady's like, destroy the footage, destroy this. We can't show this to anybody because like of all the horrible things that those kids did, like we can't show this to anybody because this is awful.
But they showed it to you.
Well, I mean it's not like a mockumentary. It's like it's actually like a legit, like a film. It's not right. It's not like found footage. The found footage is shown through a different type of viewpoint. So I gave it a 4. Like, it had a few moments of, like, this is cool. Like, once you find out, like, the kids are just straight up assholes, like, oh, shit. This is what's going to get them. And you're like, oh, no. But also, there's some really weird stuff in the, because at the very beginning, when the people are, like, trying to find the troop, the tribe and stuff, one of the guys gets naked, and he's, like, just standing in the water, and like, okay, that's cool, just dicks everywhere.
that's cool.
But then one of the guys, he's, like, taking a bath or whatever, and then all these girls from the tribe just run in, like, and it's, like, just sort of, like, running in the water with them. And, like, how old are these kids? Like, I mean, they're girl women. Like, they look, some of them look like they could be, like, in their teens. And I'm like, this just feels weird. And then at one point, like, the girl's like, ha ha ha. And, like, she's, like, grabbing his dick and stuff because it's different. And I'm like, this, I hope she's 18 or higher, because, like, that just, it, man, I feel weird. I feel weird having to remember all this stuff.
I was going to say, speaking of grabbing wieners.
God damn it. Don't use that as a segue.
I watched the movie Spotlight. That's a horrible transition. Oh no. Now we're making this into a comedy, and that's not a comedy movie. I gotta stop laughing.
Except it's the other way around, because it's the older one that's... Sorry.
So I watched Spotlight. This one won for Best Picture of the Year.
Was it?
Yeah. Oh. It won for Best Picture from the Oscars. And it was on, I think, Netflix. So I'm like, I'm going to watch this, because it wins for the Academy Awards, I'm like, I usually kind of want to see it. Because I'm like, if it won, it's got to be really good. And this one was really good. In all seriousness, there's a lot of, I don't know, I guess you could say big name actors and stuff in this movie. But in case you don't know what Spotlight is, it's based on the true story of the Boston Globe uncovering the sex scandal with the child molesting priests.
And if you didn't know what that movie is about, now you know why we were laughing.
But anyway, Boston is a very Catholic city. So there's Spotlight is the part of the... It's a part of the paper. It's called The Spotlight, where they do deep investigations of pieces, and then they go, like, they work on it for months before they publish it, so it's a Spotlight article. And they get people coming to them saying, hey, I've been molested by priests and stuff like that, and they're like, we got to find the evidence. And they're trying to go through the courts to get the evidence, but it's been blocked for certain reasons. But so Mark Ruffalo is one of the main characters, and he's trying to uncover all the documents and proof, and the whole crew is getting tips from people saying, hey, you should look at this or you should look at that, but no one wants to talk because of the raciness of it.
They'll go to hell.
Plus the whole sorry, got some phlegm in the back of my throat.
Nice.
The fact that it's a very Catholic and you should not go against the church type thing. So the whole movie is about them finding the evidence and finding people to talk. And it's a very controversial thing that by the end of the movie, when they get all the information, they think it's going to be like this huge thing. So they hire security guards. They hire people to man the phones for people who, you know, want to go against the paper and all this stuff. And they're just like, you know, they know that this is going to affect a lot of people. But the thing that shocked me, I guess, about this, I mean, I heard about these stories and stuff, but I didn't realize how big of an effect it had. Mm-hmm. Just in this city alone for Boston. Yeah, because as the numbers were growing on how many priests, it was like, holy shit, this is huge. And I mean, there's a couple scenes in the movie where I'm just like, yeah, I get it. This seems like forced.
Oh.
Where they're trying to like, oh, they ask a guy a question, I'm not going to answer it. And then by the end, you're like, oh, that's why he wasn't talking. But it seemed kind of forced. But if it was real life, I mean, I feel like it was withheld.
Yeah.
You know, like some of the information's twisted a little bit. But I thought it was a really good movie. Very emotional. Oh, shit, where's my... I'm not good at this.
Not the computers?
Yeah. I gave it an 8.5.
Whoa!
So it's pretty high up there. Tell you the truth, it's the highest rated of this month. So, spoiler. The rest of the movies aren't as good as this one.
This next one I watched, it wasn't on my list, but the first two...
Yeah, that wasn't in a box. It was on Netflix. Oh. I just watched it.
Yeah, he's...
Yeah, I mentioned that.
I was gonna say when I first heard it, I thought Spotlight was because they put the whole Kelly Church in the society spotlight or something.
Well, kind of too, but I mean, most of their stories they put in the spotlight, so it's just the name for the paper.
Gotcha. Or,
not the paper. The Globe is the paper.
Yeah,
but it was the spotlight section.
anyway, yeah. So, Lucio Fulci, I think is probably pronounced his name. If not, I'm wrong. I watched the first two of his movies, which earlier in the year, the House by the Cemetery, and then Beyond. House by the Cemetery is the one I watched tonight. Never mind. I mean, City of the Dead. Fuck, I don't remember what it's called. I'm dumb.
City of the Dead, I think is what it was.
City of Living Dead, something like that. Those are the first two parts of the quote unquote Gateways to Hell. Trilogy, Doors to Hell, whatever. Gateways to Hell, something
Gateways
like that.
Gateways to Doors.
Gateways to Doors, Doors to Gates. And this is like the third part, which basically the only reason why they're trilogies is because they all have like a similar theme to it. House by the Cemetery, I feel like his movies are all sort of like, hey, this creepy stuff's happening, but, and you'll kind of know why, but you kind of don't at the same time. I don't know, it's weird. But anyways, this, the movie is a father and a mother and, their son, the guy, Jesus Christ.
Superstar.
they move into this house because the guy there is trying to do, some like research on some shit. And he finds out that the guy that used to own the house, was like diving into some sort of like weird... Like some weird stuff with the history of the house and whatnot, but so that's happening, and then that's like the father's plot, but then the kid's plot is he keeps seeing this girl that's around his age, and he's like wanting to play with her, but at the same time the girl sees weird shit that's happening, like she walked past a mannequin and saw like bleeding and like guts falling out of the mannequin and whatnot, and she's like, no, not this. And then she'd look out the window and like she'd be looking out of a picture of a house talking to the kid and whatnot.
It's, no, not this.
Yeah. It's really bizarre and weird. And then there's like a babysitter there. But like, so like it also has like a bunch of like hidden things because there's like a whole bunch of like, I think, hidden subplots that they kind of hint at, but they don't tell you outright. It's very odd, but it's an enjoyable movie. I know I described that plot perfectly.
Yeah, no flaws.
No flaws. God damn it. Like, those movies are so... they're so weird, but they're cool. They have cool aspects and music, and the directing is great. But it's, like... I don't know. And plus, it messes me up because... he uses some of the same actors and actresses in his like movies. So like the main girl in this movie was also in the other two. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And everyone looks the same to me. but yeah, anyways, the lady ends up like finding inside the house there's a tomb like in the floor, and that is where I will stop that.
Why, you don't want to give the ending out?
No, I... Like, the whole... No. God, man. I don't even know if I could give you the ending. Because it's so weird. Like, It's such a weird movie, but, like, it's so simple at the same time. It's hard to explain. Either way, I gave it a 7. Which, I mean, old movies, like, I'm like, hey, it's about this. But then, like, what happened to it? Well, there was a guy at the bar, and, like, these guys just appeared and then, like, killed him. And then they're, like, in a the blind girl's there, and the acid falls in some guy's face, and they're in a morgue. And, like, I'm like... It's one of those things where you're, it's like when you someone says a word, you're like, I understand what you mean. What does that word mean? You're like, I can't define it. I can't. I just know that it's not good by the way you use it in the context. It's like these movies, like, they're cool and creepy, and it makes sense in context, but when you're trying to explain to somebody, I can't. It's, but basically the house in the house by the cemetery, the guy's like, yeah, the father's investigating. He's finding more stuff, weird stuff, and... The mother's just like, I'm taking care of my kid. And the kid's like, I see a ghost girl. And then the babysitter's like, what the fuck is happening? And then...
This is Bill Cosby.
Yeah. Ghost I gave story. It a... Did I say I gave it a 7? I gave it a 7.
Yeah.
It wasn't in my box yet, but the first two were, so...
Oh, so you just wanted to finish the trilogy of sorts.
Yeah. Which, they're all fun movies.
Okay, so the next one I watched in this collection, which I guess I could point out, is pretty much a Miramax collection.
Oh.
So if you remember 90s Miramax movies...
Whoopi Goldberg.
This is one of them. Or 10 of them. Actually, three of them aren't Miramax, even though the disc says Miramax on it. It's just something else.
Bitches.
But anyway, I watched... The next one I watched was a movie called Blue in the Face.
Bro, it's a porn.
No, wrong blue. The color blue.
Oh!
This movie...
Tobias Funke.
...was weird. It's kind of a movie that's trying to be like Clerks. It takes place in Brooklyn. And
it looks like,
most of it is taking place in a cigar shop.
I say it looks like they're trying to do a baseball theme with the title.
Brooklyn Dodgers.
Huh?
Because Brooklyn used to have the Dodgers, and now they're not the same without them.
Oh.
I'm guessing, because that's kind of like the Brooklyn. But anyway, it takes place in Brooklyn. There's a lot of cameos in this movie. Michael J. Fox is in it. Oh, shit. RuPaul is in it.
Lily Tomlin, Mira Sorvino, Roseanne.
Yeah.
Lou Reed.
Yeah.
Harvey Keitel.
What's his name? Gosh, I can't even think of his name.
I was just
Keith like, David is...
Keith David.
Is, oh, God dang it. I can't think of the Dodger player now.
I couldn't name one Dodger player ever.
Anyway, he cameos as that guy. I'll find it. But anyway, Harvey Keitel, I think, is the main character.
Oh, probably. Movie. Looks like him on the thing.
But he works at a cigar shop, and you get all these different weird people coming in, and weird things happen, like kind of like Clerks, except not as disgusting as Clerks. It's more relevant to Brooklyn itself. They're like mentioning why Brooklyn's the greatest city on earth, and what it has that other places don't have, and they have examples of this stuff. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't an amazing movie. I mean, I guess if you're from Brooklyn or you know a lot about Brooklyn...
Madonna was in it. Sorry. Yeah. Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, Jackie Robinson. That guy, the baseball player, Jackie Robinson. I gave it a 5.5. There wasn't much as far as plot goes. This is an older guy who has been working in a cigar shop for a long time and has loyal customers. And there's one guy who comes in and he's like, yep, this is going to be my last cigarette. I'm going to give up smoking. So then he shares the experience with the guy. He's just like sitting there and he's like, I wanted you guys to remember this. He's like, you guys are great. I'm not going to smoke anymore. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's how exciting the plot points are in that movie.
I was going to say that sounds just like Clerks because of cigarettes and stuff.
Yeah.
But Lily Tomlin played Waffle Eater.
Oh, yeah. They're talking about how waffles are different in Brooklyn. If you're in Brooklyn, you got to have a waffle.
These names for all the characters are all just like Watchman.
Well, that's because...
Man with Strange Glasses.
Yeah, they don't really mention names that much except the main...
I suppose it makes sense.
The main couple. Because it's just a person who comes in the store.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it a 5.5. That was in the box set, obviously.
Yeah. The next movie I watched was also my box set. It was back to the Dario Argento, who did Suspiria.
Mm.
So he did this movie. Where is it? Phenomena.
Phenomena.
With
John Travolta.
No, that's Phenomenon.
Phenomena.
This movie, I feel like he has a thing for people, girls going to schools from other countries, because this movie, it's Jennifer Connelly, who apparently she did this. I was like, oh, Jennifer Connelly's in this. I love her. She's so hot and pretty and good actress and stuff. But this is, she did this before Labyrinth.
Oh.
So she's like 14. What's happening in this movie is a girl goes, like, at the very beginning, a girl misses her bus and she ends up, like, trying to find her way back to where the bus was going. And she comes up to a house in the countryside. She knocks on the door and no one answers. So she goes inside, and you keep seeing cuts where something is pulling on these chains, like somebody's chained to the wall, and it keeps pulling on these chains. And eventually, you never see what it is, but this person or thing starts chasing down this girl, and cuts her head off and kills her, and her body falls into a river off a waterfall. And then cut to present day, which apparently is like 18 months later. And the police investigators are coming to this scientist guy who's like, hey, scientist man, you know bugs a lot. And he's like, yeah, I know bugs. I got all the bugs information. And by using his bugs and like the girl's severed head, he can find out how long ago she had died beat by the bug, like the maggots' chewing habits and stuff or whatever. And also he has a helper monkey, which is like a chimpanzee. And the monkey is fucking hilarious. He's like, oh, he's like, he just comes in and he's holding a scalpel. Like, what are you doing? Where'd you find this knife? He's like, oh, outside. He's like, why was it outside? I put it there. Like, oh, crazy chimpanzee. You're like, what the fuck is that?
The monkey
happening?
Can talk?
I can't. I think he does like sign language or something. I don't know. I can't. He wasn't talking. he has a helper monkey because he's in a wheelchair or whatever. Anyways, so...
monkey's gonna push his wheelchair.
Oh, that's what it is. He has like a laser. Like he has a laser. He points at things, and the monkey like goes and grabs him and stuff. Anyways, present day. Jennifer Connelly's character is going to school, and I can't remember what country this is. Italy or something. I don't fucking know. Whatever country this is in. Sorry, people from that country. But she shows up and. She's like, hey, I'm going to this school. Cool. Great. And she rooms with this other girl, and they're talking about stuff, and you find out that Jennifer Connelly's character, her dad is, like, this great American actor, and he's really rich and whatnot, and whatever. That's not the part that matters. The part that matters is, turns out Jennifer Connelly's character, which I think her name in the movie is Jennifer, which messed me up, is...
For once, when we keep saying Jennifer,
yeah.
It's going to be correct instead of just the actor's name.
Yeah, but she has a secret. She can talk to bugs. She can talk to bugs. She talks to them, and she can control
like
them.
Ant-Man.
Yes. So, like, her being able to talk to bugs. Sorry, this movie just sounds so fucking out there. She talks to the bugs, and then she talks to the scientist guy, who are like, whoa, we can figure out what's happening with these bugs, and he, like, gives her, like, a fly, and she follows the fly because he knows where, like, the bodies are and stuff. It's such a weird movie. It's such a weird movie.
What is this again?
Phenomena.
The bug-talking lady.
And then, like...
It's Jeff Goldblum is the fly.
Oh, shit. But it really... Because apparently, also, the girl that died at the very beginning, it's like a string of murders. So it's not like it's just one person. Like, they're like, oh, in the last year, four girls have been murdered or something like that. It feels like the end came to such an abrupt, like, stretch, like... Like, what's happening? We gotta figure out who the killer is, and this, and this, and this. And then it's like, oh, it's this person, and this is why. And like, what the fuck? What? The end. You're like, what the fuck just happened? I don't know. It's a weird movie. I was not expecting that after watching Suspiria.
What did you
give it? I gave it a 6.5.
So
it was on my list, though, for movies to watch.
See, your movie was weird. This one I never heard of, and this one was weird, too. It was in my box set. It was called The Big White.
Oh, like Moby Dick.
Kind of, except it's Alaska.
Oh, that makes more sense. The Big White State.
I think it's, yeah, Alaska. Okay, so Robin Williams.
Oh, this is a prequel to Insomnia.
Oh, no. Robin Williams is a travel agent, and his brother has been missing for, like, months or years or something like that, and he's trying to get his brother's life insurance to help him pay for the house or debt or something.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly what. So he's trying to get the life insurance from his brother, and they're like, we can't because there's no body. We don't know that he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin's like, he has to be dead if he has been missing this long. And they're like, no, we can't give you the money. And then he's like trying to figure out how to get money. And Giovanni Ribisi works at the insurance company to try to find fraud in insurance cases. So people who are like, oh, I got hurt. And then he's like, oh, I found you mowing the lawn or something like that. Mm-hmm. Not in this movie because there's no grass, but it's all snow. But anyway, what Robin Williams, after he gets done with work, goes and he's like talking on the phone by a garbage dumpster. And he accidentally drops something in the dumpster and there's a dead body in his dumpster.
Whoa.
And he's like, oh. And then for some reason, it took me forever to put the pieces together in this movie. He pulls the body out of the dumpster and puts it in his trunk and then takes it home and puts it in his freezer. And I was like, what the fuck is he doing? I'm like, is that his brother? No, it's not his brother. He's going to make it look like it's his brother.
Yeah.
So he like goes and takes his brother's body and drops it off a cliff and then leaves it there and hopes that like wolves eat him.
Yeah.
And he comes back and then like they didn't do anything. So then he gets like a whole bunch of meat from the butcher, rubs it all over and puts bacon on his face and stuff like that so the wolves will eat his face off and stuff. And they find the dead body with his hands gone, his face ripped off and stuff, but he's wearing his brother's clothes. So he's like, that's my brother. And they're like, oh, he is dead. Okay. So we can go ahead with this life insurance thing. But the guys who dumped the body in the dumpster were like hitmen.
Mm-hmm.
And their boss is like, we need proof that that person's dead. So they go back, and the body's gone. So they somehow find out that, I don't remember exactly how, but they find out that it was at Robin Williams' house.
Mm-hmm.
So they go, and Robin Williams is married to this lady who has, like, Tourette's, and has, or has some kind of psychological problem.
Oh, it's a funny movie.
No. No. So they go there, and they're like, where's the body? And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about because she's not all there. So they kidnap her and keep her for ransom until they get the body back. And it gets crazy. And then, oh yeah, who else? Is Woody Harrelson's in the movie and he's Robin Williams' other brother. So he's like, oh, you're getting money from our dead brother? I want some of this. But he's like a drunk and very violent person.
Wait, you said Woody Allen or Woody Harrelson?
Woody Harrelson.
Oh, I was thinking Woody Allen. you take it all.
So he's
money.
Like, I want some of the money. And then Robin Williams like, okay, it's about, you know, like $200,000. You can, well, we'll split it in half. So that's still, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But then it turns out it's over $1 million and he's just trying to pocket more of the cash. And it gets really crazy. It is a pretty interesting movie.
Why was his brother so important?
It's not. I don't even know who his brother was. Like,
oh.
It was just that he was missing, so he just wanted. It was like a plot point.
Okay,
I'm like, no, he was just. He just had a lot of money.
So
I guess.
Like, who? I'm like, who has a lottery? Not lottery insurance of like $1 million.
Yeah, he was important, I guess. But I thought it was a really interesting movie. I'd never even heard of this movie. I started watching it and I was like intrigued. Like everything just kept happening. I was like, what's going on? But I gave it a 6.5.
Okay.
It was a pretty good movie. I also put a little note here. There's a lot of Eels music in it.
Oh, yeah?
Because it started with an Eels song for the opening credits, and then, like, halfway through the movie, there's another Eels song, and it ended with another Eels song, and...
I just realized how many movies I have left. I gotta start talking faster. Or at least less. Yeah,
I gave that a 6.5.
The next movie I watched was Dead of Night. It's an old, like, black and white movie, and it kind of reminded me of, like, a Tales from the Crypt.
Okay.
And by that, I mean, like, the Tales from the Crypt movie, like, where, like, from the
70s. Yeah, like, Bordello 70s.
Blood. No, like... It was like a. It was like a.
Is that from the 70s?
It was like a 70s like British movie, I believe. I could be wrong.
It's like an anthology type movie, but.
Sort of, yeah. So what happens is this guy, he shows up to this house because he was going there to shit. I can't remember what he
went. He went there to shit!
No, I can't remember. He was like a salesman of some sort, I think. I could be wrong. But he went there to go check on the house. And he's like, I've been here before. And the people in the house are like, what do you mean you've been here before? He's like, I've been here. This like, as soon as I get here, like, shortly after, this woman walks in and she's talking about this and this and this. And then, sure enough, that happens. Like, whoa, wow, that's crazy. And like, there's this psychologist doctor is there. I was like, no. There's no such thing as supernatural things and blah, blah, blah. And like, girl's like, well, no, I know one time this happened. And like, they each go through like these stories of like, of weird things that happened to them, like, that could be sort of supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to say there's, like, I could be wrong. I want to say, like, there's, like, maybe, like, 6 different stories. And some of them are pretty cool. Some were kind of weird because one of them dealt with these two guys. And I guess they were, like, famous comedic actors years ago where they both liked this one girl. So they're like, oh, let's play golf. And whoever wins gets to marry the girl. But then the one guy ends up cheating. So the guy's like, well, he has the girl, and I lost at golf. And he takes his own life. I was like walking. Just like walks right into the lake and drowns himself. And then his ghost like starts haunting the other guy. Because he's like, you cheated. I found out you cheated. And he's like, and it just gets like turns into this weird like comedy thing. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? But yeah, like there's one about like a girl who like sees a ghost kid and then this like hidden attic thing, and there's one about like a ventriloquist dummy who's like a real person, and like, and there's like, it had some like really kind of cool moments, but also like for some reason that golf one just kind of just boom, like took me out of the movie. I don't know why. It was weird, but it was a like overall it was a good movie. I gave it a 7.
Seems like American Horror Story type movie.
No, I mean, like, it was like, pretty well done for, like, it just, normally you watch an anthology movie,
yeah,
it's, like, 3 stories.
Yeah.
This was, like, maybe twice that.
Right.
So it kind of, like, it made the movie seem longer than it was. So, like, and that golf one was, like, one of the last ones. So it was just kind of like, all right, how much more do you have after this?
Yeah.
Because, like, I didn't care for it because it was like, oh, I gotta do this, wink, wink, knob, grab his nose, blah, 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 I'm drowning, blah, blah, blah. Like
trying to make people happy by the end of the movie.
Yeah, I guess. But,
all this death and scary shit.
Yeah, and then, of course, the ending, I fucking called it right from the start, but whatever. Dead of Night, that was on my list, I gave it a 7.
Alright, the next movie I watched, you also watched.
Yes, it's probably the next one I watched.
Deliverance?
Yep.
Yeah, so I'd never seen Deliverance before.
Neither have I.
The only thing I knew about it was the banjos, dueling banjos.
Dueling banjos.
And then the squeal like a pig.
Yes. I didn't know who was in it.
I didn't even realize it was Burt Reynolds.
I didn't know it was Burt Reynolds or John Voight as the two main characters.
Yeah. It was John Voight?
Yeah.
Wow, he's young.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. Yeah, so basically... The movie is, I guess they're like ripping parts of the forest down to build.
They're building a dam, and it's going to flood a big portion of like the river and forest.
Yeah. So before they do it, these bunch of guys like, we should ride the river in our canoes before one last time before, you know, it gets destroyed.
Yeah.
So most of the movie is this canoe trip where they're going down the rapids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, They run into these two hillbilly type guys and basically rape.
Yeah, one of the guys.
One of the guys.
Yeah.
Well, the other guy's tied to a tree and forced to watch. Pretty graphic. I guess it's not. It could have been a lot worse.
Oh, yeah, you don't see anything.
You don't see anything, but the whole incident is pretty.
Yeah, Ned Beatty. Intense. That's the guy that. Yeah.
Yeah, I always think of the guy from Superman. Is the guy who gets raped is the Superman's?
Oh, is it?
Or Lex Luthor?
Hey, Mr. Luthor.
Hey, Mr. Luthor.
That's seriously the same guy.
Yeah, it's the same guy.
Oh shit, he's Otis. Yeah. Hey, Mr. Luthor.
Yeah, he is forced to squeal like a pig while he gets raped.
He's forced to squeal like a pig. Oh, that's Roseanne's dad, or John Connor's dad, Roseanne. Sorry.
Anyway. Oh yeah. I don't know how much I want to give away in this movie.
Well, I mean, like, because
that was like the first half.
Yeah, the first act. I usually say because, well, yeah, they what happens is like, and like Burt Reynolds' character is like, I'm a man of the woods. I know everything about being in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So as the we can give this part away. Okay. I think. So
yeah, one guy gets raped. The other guy is like his
belt
off.
He has like a shotgun like to his face.
Yeah,
pretty much.
He's basically gonna either. Do some raping, or he's gonna die.
Well, yeah, because he's like, you got a pretty mouth.
Yeah.
So he's gonna force him a BJ.
So he's gonna, yeah, he's gonna force it, otherwise he's gonna kill him. And then Burt Reynolds sneaks up behind.
Shoots an arrow through his chest.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, holy shit, I did not see that coming, because I thought most majority of the movie was like, them being like at their cabin or whatever. No, they're like, hey, we need to agree now that.
Yeah, so like, the one guy gets killed, and then the other guy runs off.
Yeah.
So then they're like, we gotta... Like,
we need to hide this body because if we go to court here for, like, murder, these people are against us because we're not from around here. And he's like, so we need to hide the body because they're going to be flooding this area in, like, the next month, so it won't matter.
Right.
And then the rest of the movie is, like, just repercussions from that decision.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it gets, it gets pretty intense.
It's it's a mind fuck, that's for sure.
I know for some reason I don't want to really spoil anything, but like at the very end of the movie, one of the guys like they're like with a bunch of people and he like breaks down crying because of all the shit they went through.
Mm-hmm.
And then like everyone's just being quiet, then the other person's like, so how about that corn? Yeah, and all these old people are like, yeah, it's really good corn. It's sweet corn this year. It's sweet corn. I don't know why that made me fucking laugh so much, because like guys like, holy shit, all these things happened to us, and my friends, and this and that. Like, I'm responsible for everybody and on this trip and whatnot. He's like, just like you just see like he's like, just starts breaking down crying. Like, trying to cover it up, and the old people are just so awkward with it. So then they just like start talking about corn. It made me laugh so much. I gave it. A 7?
I also gave it a 7.
There we go.
Ding.
Nope, I didn't. 6.5.
I gave it a 7.
I gave... Yeah, sorry.
And then the next movie we also saw together.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't see Deliverance together. We watched it 2 separate times. But yeah. This one we saw together.
And the good news is, if you go back, the best... It's the year 2. I watched The Blair Witch Project and Blair Witch... Or Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2... So you can listen to those, my reviews on those.
When was that?
Ah, the second year, that's all I know.
Oh, okay. So watch the 12 episodes.
All of them.
Or listen to 12 episodes. Because we went and saw the new one.
Yes.
Called Blair Witch.
Blair Witch.
Because Blair Witch Project, and now this is just Blair Witch.
Yes, it's not a project.
So the original Blair Witch, Scott reviewed, in case you haven't seen it or don't know anything about it, is three people go into the woods with cameras trying to...
Make a documentary
about the Blair Witch. Something happens, they are never found again. But
yes.
The footage is found, and they piece it together and make that movie. This movie is the girl's brother, who was four at the time. That she went missing. But now he's in college.
It's been 17 years. Actually, technically the movie took place in 2014.
Right.
So it took place in 15 years. So he's like 19, yeah.
Yeah, so he wants to put on an expedition and... do a search where the tapes were found, because a new tape was found.
Yeah.
That shows footage of which could be his sister.
A woman, you see a woman like with a handheld camera walking up the stairs, and like you see the reflection of a woman in a mirror.
Right. So he thinks it's his sister and she's still alive out there. So he goes to the guys who found the tape and they come along and they're
like, yeah, we're coming along.
With. We'll show you where it's going. We're coming with you.
Yeah.
So they are. They go on an expedition with a whole bunch of cameras. Each person is equipped with an earpiece camera so you can see everything first person point of view. They bring a drone along this time.
Yeah.
They also have handheld cameras.
Yep.
So it's like Blair Witch, but to the next level.
Yes.
So they're going and they're like, this is where we found the tapes and we're going to stay for the night. And weird shit starts happening.
Yeah, which...
I don't want to give anything away.
The weird shit that happens, though, it's much on a grander scale of right. noise.
I just didn't want to give any of the oh, big yeah. plot points.
Oh,
away.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like, it's much grander on a scale of noise.
Yeah.
And, like, physically, like, seeing things and right. stuff.
I mean, the trailer shows the tent getting ripped off the ground.
Yeah.
And which is really creepy.
Apparently, the trailer shows something that I didn't see. And our friend Mook did. And he's mm-hmm. like, yeah, he's like, I kind of saw that coming because. In the trailer, they showed, like, up to a certain point when they, like...
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so there's, like... It's definitely a lot scarier than the original.
For sure.
There was a lot of points in the movie where I'm like, no. No.
Nope, nope, nope.
Nope, nope, nope. And I did jump... There was a lot of, you know, like, loud noise scare yeah, type
there's,
stuff.
There's a lot of jump scares, which pissed
yeah,
me
off. Yeah, jump scares, but I... It they didn't really piss me off too much because I think it worked for
yeah.
some of them.
Yeah, yeah.
It just added to the really scariness of it. And then the whole... I mean, this isn't really giving anything away because if you've seen the trailer or know anything about it, they're trying to find the house. The whole end scene with, where they're in the house is creepy
and
as
it lasted
hell.
A lot longer than I thought it was going
yeah.
to. Because in the movie, it's like... In the first one... Because
if you've seen the first one...
It's like 5 minutes.
Yeah. The house part's very small.
And this one, it's like probably at least 20.
It has 15, a very haunted 20. House type feel to
Holy
it, too.
Holy shit, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that happens that I'm...
It
I'm
is
still...
one of those things that... That last scene where they're in the house, I kind of want to watch it on DVD.
Yeah.
And go frame and by frame on some, yeah. on some stuff just to see what the fuck is on the walls and all that
yeah.
shit.
Yeah. Also, I saw on the internet the guys who made this movie. Apparently, there's a bunch like a couple Easter eggs in the movie and stuff. But there's one Easter egg that no one has spotted yet. Like, they're talking about it in an interview. Like, yeah, no one spotted it yet. It's like, actually, you know what? I'll say right now, if anybody finds it, let me know exactly where you see it, and I'll give you $200. The other guy's like, yeah, me too. Yeah, so if you find it, email us. It tells us exactly where it is, and we'll give you... You get $400. And, like, he's like, yeah, we told even, like, execs and stuff like that. Like, hey... This is, like, executive producers and stuff. Like, yeah, look around and like, around this type of... This part of the movie, you'll see it. And they didn't even see it. But apparently the map from the first movie...
Is in it?
Is in it.
So if you find the map... Jesus. I gave it a 7.5.
I gave it a 7. It was a lot like the first one, but
yes.
different.
It
which
was...
I was hoping for a little more story, because that's what I love about the first one. Is like, there's so much backstory and so much, like, yeah. stuff that it's pulled into.
There's
like
not as much backstory in this one.
No, they add a few things.
It definitely feels like a reboot sequel, if
yeah.
that makes sense. Where it's a sequel, but it feels like the first one, kind of like Jurassic World.
Yeah.
Felt like Jurassic Park.
It felt like it was a reboot, but the first movie could have taken place in 5 minutes.
Right.
But it all exists. I don't mm-hmm. know. It's weird. But yeah, I gave it a 7. I want to see it again, though, because I'm going to buy it when it comes to Blu-ray, because I love the Blair Witch stuff in general.
Yeah, and I definitely want to see it again on DVD to see if I missed anything. The next movie I watched in my box set was a movie called One Hell of a Guy.
Oh.
One Hell of a Guy.
A bunch of swearing in these fucking box sets.
Rob Lowe. Why did I say his name like that? Rob Lowe.
She forgot.
Rob Lowe plays this guy who's in hell. And he gets sent to Earth to make this girl commit a mortal sin.
Intercourse?
I don't know. It could be.
You don't know?
It doesn't... I don't know. They might have said what it was, but I wasn't listening or not paying attention enough. But... so he goes to Earth, and there's this waitress at this diner who's a shitty waitress. So they're like, it's all right. She's not that great of a person, so she deserves to get sent to hell. Wow. So he goes there trying to convince her to fall in love with him. And it's weird because while he's doing this, he's getting flashes of his previous life that he doesn't remember. Because obviously he was in hell, so he did have a life before he got to hell. But once he got to hell, he doesn't know what it is. So when he got sent back to Earth, he's like trying to get her to do stuff that she doesn't want to do. And at the same time, he's trying to figure out who he was.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of interesting. And I don't know, this guy has got no charisma whatsoever. So he's like, let's do this. Like, he's just like flat out asking her.
What is Rob Lowe?
And she's like, no, I'm kind of busy tonight. No, you want to go on a date with me. Just like, not even just asking, just like saying you're going to, that kind of stuff. He's just kind of a dick, but he's a demon. So what can I say? And then this other girl is following him around to make sure, because apparently her life is on the line for it or something. She's like, if you fuck up, I'm gonna get sent. I don't know what is gonna happen, but so she's kind of like almost like a guardian angel type thing, but a devil angel for this guy, and trying to convince. I don't know. It was a very weird movie.
Well, the tagline is a handsome devil meets a living angel.
Yeah. I gave it a 5.5. It wasn't amazing, but I mean, like I said, these are 90s Miramax movies. It seems so fitting.
The next movie I watched on my list, Jason watched already last year, I believe.
Which movie?
Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
I watched Frankenstein, which I watched in like sixth grade. Jason, if you will go back and listen Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Locked up. No, I did this on purpose.
It's a doctor who creates a man. A man from what?
May 2015 is when I watched it.
May of
last year.
So Jason described it like a scientist creates a man out of body parts and stuff. Yeah, it's a really good, solid movie. Like, it flows really fast. It was over before I realized it. And it's really cool, like, knowing that the monster was, like, taken from a criminal mind. Because it was a criminal that you put in the mind, but then, like, since he was, like, it was a rebirth for him, he wasn't intentionally evil. Like, he just didn't understand what life was type of thing, you know?
It's not this movie.
But I gave it a 7.5. Do you want me to go to the next one?
No, I can do my next
one. Okay.
The last movie I watched in this box set was a movie called His and Hers, which is Liv Schreiber, however you pronounce his name.
Sabretooth from Wolverine Origins.
Yeah, and I forget who his wife is.
Oh, shit.
I don't think I recognized her from something. But anyway, the movie starts where she's, you know, getting dinner ready, and he's just sitting there watching Hillary Clinton talking on the TV.
Oh, so it's a recent movie.
It is 1997. So it was when Clinton was in office, probably. Yeah, he was in office. I don't know why I said probably. But anyway, his wife is pregnant, and he wants to get some from her, but she doesn't want to because she's pregnant. So they're having like a bit of a marital dispute, and he goes up to her while she's like getting dinner ready, and she's on the phone talking, and he sneaks up behind, puts his arms around her, you know, like trying to make out with her from behind kind of thing. And then she's chopping vegetables, and boom, there goes his finger.
Jesus.
And then the credits open, and it's like the opening credits of the movie is a whole bunch of names, and it just keeps showing a finger falling, which I'm like, okay, so the finger is apparently an important part of the movie, which it kind of was. So then they try to find it, and apparently it flung out the window
when
they cut it off. And he's just like, I need to go to the hospital. And she's like, yeah. So she's out there trying to find the finger, and she sees it in the grass, and there's a guy with a lawnmower coming. And she's like, no! And he's got headphones on, so she can't hear. And then
it's a little wacky comedy.
And then right before he's going to run it over, a dog grabs it and runs off. So she chases this dog. And they eventually get the finger back, and they ice it up, and they put it in a cooler. And she's like, hey, we got to go to the hospital. And they get into an argument, and she finds out that he's really horny. So he thought about having sex with her friend, and she's like, "You thought about having sex?" He's like, "I didn't. You cheated on me," she says, and he's, "No, I didn't. I only thought about cheating on you." So there's like this big argument between the two of them, and then it gets really fucking weird, because then another couple comes, and they're like, "Yeah, the women all think that just thinking about doing something is horrible," and the guys are like, "No, it's just, you know, it's everybody thinks about stuff. There's a difference between thinking and doing." And then there's an armed robbery at a bank where they're at, and they get held captive, and it is all over the place. A weird dark comedy. I don't know if it's really considered a dark comedy, but it was a weird movie.
According to IMDb, it's considered a comedy.
It is considered a comedy. I believe that. But I'm guessing it's considered a dark comedy because it has to do with a decapitated finger.
I don't know what
is it called?
I don't remember. But decapitated is like the head.
Yeah, but what do you call dismembered?
Amputated finger?
Dismembered finger?
I don't know. Write to us.
I gave it a 6. It was an entertaining movie.
Next,
that was the last one in my box set.
Okay.
So usually what I do, I don't know how much I did it in the last couple months.
You did a few times.
But I rated all the movies in the box set, and then, the best one in the box set I talked about last month, and that was Station Agent. I gave that one an 8.5, I guess. And then this month, the worst movie was Runaway Daughters at a 5. And you average all 10 movies up, and it comes out to be a 6.
Wow.
So that box set is worth a 6 out of 10 for me.
The next movie I watched was a sequel to Frankenstein that Jason watched probably in May of 2015.
Probably around the same time.
Or June. Who knows? Bride of Frankenstein. Which...
See, I hit page up, and you're supposed to go up. Bride of Frankenstein was May of 2015. I think that was the same.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like an exact like right away sequel of. Actually, Tony and I were talking about this on Wednesday night, because like they're talking about how old Universal Monsters. Like, you know, the monster dies at the end, and then he's alive again. But he was talking about how old monster movies like that with such a villain, they had to like kill him off at the end of each movie, even if they come back for more.
Right.
Because, like, oh, it makes people feel better and safe and all this
That's how
shit.
I was when I was a kid. Like, if I was watching a horror movie, I'd watch it at the end just to see how to kill them.
Yeah, and then, like, yeah, we were talking about how, like, Friday the 13th, like, they adopted that sort of idea and kept going with it, whatever. Whereas, like, oh, they died, and then, like, they're back.
Because I always remember that. I'm like, I want to watch the end because I want to know how you kill it.
Yeah.
Because there's all these ways not to kill, that you couldn't kill them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this doesn't work and this doesn't work. Like, the end of the movie, they're going to do it.
Yeah. But the weirdest thing about this movie was, like, there is this weird character that, this lady that was, like, one of Frankenstein's, workers, and she was, like, and she just seemed like, oh, dude, don't go that way, the monster's that way, well, if you die, it's your fault, dooper dirkadoo. I'm like,
dirkadoo.
I was like, this has such a completely different, like, feel than Frankenstein.
There's a lot more comedy in this
one. Like, it was weird. I didn't care for that. And then, like, and I feel sad because the bride doesn't really show up until like the last couple minutes of the movie, but a lot of it was like Frankenstein becoming more human and stuff like that, which, I mean, it was fine and stuff. I was really excited to see what kind of character the bride was, and I just, unfortunately, you don't really get to see that, but yeah, listen to Jason's review for the plot and whatnot. That was just my opinions of it. I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah. In May of 2015, I gave it a 7.5.
All right. I do too.
The next movie I watched, it was on HBO, and I kind of wanted to see it for a while. It was Sisters, not to be confused with the other Sisters that we watched earlier this year.
Yeah.
Amy
Poehler kills somebody.
Yeah. This one has Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. And let me just see, Sisters, we watched in February 2016, so a couple months ago.
Earlier this year.
But anyway, this movie is Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. They play sisters, hence the title.
Good name.
It's a comedy. basically their parents are retired and they're thinking of selling their family home because they're retired and they're going to move down south or travel or something like that. Either way, that's right. They got like a little studio condo type thing on the beach or in a resort or something. So they're selling their home, but Tina Fey's character, they don't want to tell her because she freaks out too much and gets violent. So they just say, hey, maybe you should just bring her home and we can go through some stuff. You can take your stuff that you want from home, and then they'll sell the house. So Amy Poehler's like, okay, we can go, and maybe we can convince mom and dad not to sell the house because it's, you know, we grew up there and all this stuff. So they do a trip home and then find out, oh, the house is already sold. And then Tina Fey's character freaks out and she's like, no, we're going to do a party. We're going to throw a party in this house one last time, bring all our friends from high school together and just have the best party ever. And Amy Poehler's like, yeah, we should do that. But she's like the straight one and then Tina Fey's the crazy one.
Mm-hmm.
And they meet this guy down the street, and Tina Fey's like, you should totally do him. And Amy Poehler's like, maybe. You got to invite him to the party. Okay. So the entire time, Amy Poehler's trying to hook up with this guy, and she says, okay, I'll do this, but that means you have to be the den mother. You have to be the person at the party who doesn't drink anything and has to be sober and keep everything in line. And she's like, what? Because she's the party person. But all the people come, you know, they're like in their 30s. I want to say mid-30s.
Mm-hmm.
The people come to the party, but they're all like married and have kids and stuff like that. So like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. It's time to turn in. And everyone wants to leave. And they're like, no, this is your one time to have fun. And it gets super loud. Crazy shit starts happening. Like people start drawing on the walls. Things start breaking. Someone dumps paint into the filter in the pool. So, Jesus. Like, the pool just turns blue. There's, like, all kinds of crazy shit that happens at the party. The cops come, but then they're like, oh, wait, you guys are cool. And then they just let them go. But there is so many great characters in it. There's a character who has to be funny all the time. And they didn't want to invite him to the party, but he ended up coming anyway. And he's just constantly doing movie quotes and trying to be funny whenever someone says them, and he tries to come back with something. And it is so bad, it's funny. Because that just gets so annoying. And just everybody dealing with it is like, yep, I can see how. But I gave the movie an 8.5. I thought it was a really funny movie. It was way funnier than I thought it was going to be.
That's good.
Because, like, most comedies, plot gets in the way a lot of the time. And this one, not really, because there's not much to a plot.
We went to a party the last time at our house.
But then they have to, like, at the end of the movie, they got to fix it up because people bought a house. Like, yeah.
We bought a house. Bought a zoo.
Bought a zoo. Yeah.
The next movie I watched, I wasn't on my list, but I had it from... I bought it because it seemed interesting. I remember someone talking about it in college. It's called Talk Radio. It's an Oliver Stone movie where...
That's not a horror movie at all.
No, but it's like a suspense of thrill. It's just not on my list.
I know, but then I just thought just because it's not on your list doesn't mean it's not a horror movie.
This is like the one movie this month that I watched that wasn't horror. but it was still a thriller. It's about this character who is I can't remember the words. Teacher. He is like a shock jock type character where on the radio, like, he has like nighttime shows. People call in like, hey, how are you doing? Like, he lives in, I think, Austin, Texas or something like that. And like, hey, so what's your music? What are you trying to say? What are you like? It's like just like berates people and stuff like that. Like calling like, I listen to your show all the time. Yeah. Okay. What do you want? Yeah. He called in. What do you want to talk about? I don't know. Just like, you just call in and waste my time. Like, just one of those guys. But like, people love the show and there's a chance that it's going to go like nationwide and like coast to coast and stuff like that. So it's like, oh shit, this is gonna be great. This is gonna get us a lot of money and whatnot and better stuff with that. And Al Baldwin's in the movie as like his manager. But then like you see some of his like past and stuff like that and how he got into radio and whatnot. But the whole time like he's also like getting threats because he's Jewish and people are like, oh yeah, well fucking Nazis will come here and kill you, you and your Jew nose and stuff like that. And like,
just, oh Jesus!
Yeah, like there's like at the very beginning, he gets emailed like a like the guy says, yeah, I sent you a bomb. He's like, what? He's like, I sent you a bomb. And like everyone's at the station's like freaking out. He's like opening the box on the radio and like just talking, like pretending like nothing's happening. And he opens up, there's like a dead rat inside, and it's like laying on top of a swastika flag, and like. He's like, yeah, I get these all the time. He's like, what do you mean? Like, you don't, you shouldn't be, you know, because people hate him and whatnot. And, but, so majority of the movie is, like, him trying to, like, basically figure out, like, he comes to this existential moment where he's trying to figure out, like, why people listen to him and stuff like that. Like, why they like it. And essentially, like, he calls his ex-wife and she comes to town and stuff like that. And they talk about all this crazy stuff that they've been through whatnot, and but then when he goes on, because he wants her to be there for like when they go nationwide, but then like oh yeah, they still the company still needs to figure out they're not ready yet to put it in. So he's like, oh shit, and then he basically breaks down like on like that night. He's like, fuck it, I'm doing whatever the fuck I want type thing. Like this, like the, you know, like it's a pretty cool movie. It's pretty fun. Like it's. It's very realistic, and it like, I don't know, it just has, like, some cool suspense and tension and some of that, and it was pretty good. I gave it a 7.5, so I liked it.
Yeah, I have one more movie, and you saw it, too.
Yep.
It was a movie called The Final Girls.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Final Girl, which came out in the same year.
What?
It was a movie called Final Girl.
Oh yeah, I remember seeing it. I remember seeing that like Walmart. I'm like, oh, is this the prequel?
Yeah. But I'll let you describe this movie because like it's sometime. Your movie.
Okay,
you bought this.
I did. It's sort of like a lowish budget. I don't want to say low budget, like but low under the radar. Not like a big company type thing, but a lot of comedians like that wrote it and stuff like that, and a lot of like you know smaller comedians in it, like Adam Devine from. Workaholics and Thomas Middleditch from, Silicon Valley. Then there's Ellie Swath, whatever she was, Swath, whatever, maybe from Arrested Development and, the girl from Farmiga, whatever, from American Horror Story. Anyway, it's like a bunch of, like, sort of.
Yeah, Farmiga, Thaisa Farmiga,
yeah.
And, that's not it. Elias Swashcat.
Yeah. Her. But it's about a girl whose mom was in this one movie like years ago, like in the 70s or 80s.
Yeah,
it's called Camp Bloodbath.
Yeah,
So like she's like kind of going along with her as she's trying to like find like more acting gigs and stuff like that, and it's like a whole like mother and daughter type thing. But then the mother, they end up getting a car accident, and the mother dies, and it's a couple years later where they want to, it's like the anniversary of the movie coming out, so they're like, hey, we're gonna have the movie play at this theater, and he's like, we really want you to go because like you're the main actress in the movie, like you're her daughter, like it'd be great because like it's, you know, like it feels like the closest thing we have to a star from this movie. So she goes, but then as we're watching it and stuff like that, a fire starts in the theater, and she, like, then they're, like, trying to find a way out, and, like, oh, fuck.
We'll just go through the screen.
Well, yeah, because, like, there's usually, like, the backstage, like, it's like, oh, cut, you know, go through the screen, and then, like, go to the backstage. So what ends up happening is, like, they cut through the screen with, like, someone brought, like, a prop, machete. Because it's very much, like, a Jason, like, Friday the 13th ripoff, where the movie is, like, about this kid who got harassed at camp and ended up getting burns all over his body, so like he made this like wooden like sort of almost like a voodoo mask, and he just kills like the counselors and stuff. But anyways they go through like the movie screen, and they're in the movie, and like, oh shit, we're in the movie, we gotta figure out what's going on. But then they realize one of the guys obviously is like the horror buff. He's like, well, usually in all these horror movies there's a final girl who she's like, you stick with her
And you'll
survive the movie because she doesn't die. She's the one that will kill the villain. So you stick by her, and as long as she's still alive, we'll be fine. But then as they're like they're figuring this stuff out, they're like, well, we're not really supposed to be. So they start like interacting with the movie the way they shouldn't, and it leads to the final girl dying. You're like, oh fuck, What do we do now? it's a comedy type horror movie. There's a lot of like really funny moments and like weird, awkward, funny moments. But I really liked it a lot. They did some really funny, like, hey, we're in this, like, we're trapped in this movie or trapped in this type of event. Mm-hmm. But they did some pretty funny jokes that, like, you don't normally see. Because
the movie itself takes place in, like, the 80s, so they do a lot of, like, references to current stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the cell phone and the fact that one guy's dad's gay and stuff. Yeah. There's, like...
Your dad can't be gay.
Gay people can't have kids.
They're too busy at dancing in discos.
What is this little block? It's a phone. Yeah, it's a phone. Where's it connected to the wall? Ugh. Just like...
Yeah, but no, it was actually, like, surprisingly a lot more touching than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as... it had funny moments, but it wasn't an overall comedy-esque, right. But, like...
It wasn't as much humor as I thought it was going to be.
But it was still good. I really liked it a lot. Yeah. I gave it an 8.5.
I gave it a 7.5. The reason I didn't give it higher is because I was expecting more, I think.
Yeah.
Especially toward the end of the film.
Yeah.
I don't want to give the ending away, but I was a little disappointed by the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I was expecting more of a conclusion.
Yeah.
I
can see that.
And, yeah, I was expecting more, I guess, why they were in the movie.
Yeah. That's a weird thing, too.
So there's, like, I had a lot of questions, but there was some stuff that I did like. Some of the stuff in the movie was really funny, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
But it didn't, like, make me go, wow, I need to get this movie. That's why I only gave it a 7.5.
I'm glad I bought it, though. Right. Like, there's... Yeah. The sad thing is, it feels like it was a TV show that you really liked, but got canceled mid-season. Because yeah. I'm like...
Yeah,
because I'm like...
I can see that.
I'm like... I really, like, I need to know what happens next.
Right.
So, let's hope they make a sequel.
Like, exactly.
But you know they won't,
that's
probably.
That's what I mean. Like, the ending, it's like, it can keep going.
Yeah.
Because I want to know what happens next.
Yeah. Because, like, yeah, there are some happy moments at the end, but also there's some not happy moments at the end.
Yeah.
So, but.
Yeah, so, yeah. That's it for my movies this month. So, Spotlight with an 8.5 was my best movie. Runaway Daughters with the 5 was my lowest movie.
Highest movie was either Suspiria or Final Girls at 8.5. Lowest was Cannibal Holocaust at 4. So just a reminder, the ones that were on my list was Suspiria, Cannibal Holocaust, Phenomena, Dead of Night, Deliverance, Bride of Frankenstein, and Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
So yeah, if you want to email us, stuffbyscott@gmail.com, if you have any recommendations, any of your thoughts on certain movies or vice versa.
I just think it's going to be funny because we've been watching so many horror movies this year, and now it's October. We have to watch.
Yes. Yep.
We have to watch a lot of horror.
I know, like I said, this one I only watched one that wasn't a horror movie, and before that, I think, like the month before that, I watched one that wasn't a horror movie. So I have to, yeah, look at August was all horror movies except for like one. I mean, I can't watch anything other than horror this month. I have to. Like, I can't watch
it
one.
It feels like I let October down if I watch comedies.
I know. And so far, I mean, I've only watched horror movies, but I got to make sure that doesn't change. But yeah, so that's month of movies for September.
And that's a wrap.
That is. Do 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 do